That's a good sound. Well, we'd like to welcome each and every one to the Sunday School today. And, you know, we've got all these seats up here in the front, and there's nobody sitting on these seats. And this is especially for the boys and girls, this meeting. And so I'm going to ask that, boys and girls, would you be willing to come and sit on these front row seats? It won't cost you any extra. You know, front row seats are good seats. You can see what's happening. So, now, does anybody need a hymn book? We might have to share this morning on the hymn books. But we don't want anybody to have an excuse not to sing. Anybody need a hymn book? All right, so we're all ready to sing, are we? Did you boys have a good sleep last night?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you have a good breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, that's good. Do you feel sick?
No.
No? All right. Well, let's sing. It's a good time to sing. Do you have a number you'd like to sing in this book here? Which one?
22.
22. All right, let's start number 22. Number 22 starts with the word come. What a beautiful word.
Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in His word He showed us the way. Here in our midst He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free.
Was a wild little monkey. He had to be tied to a tree. And Jesus was singing about him. He said, go and bring him to me. And when they had brought him to Jesus, as quickly as ever they could, that restless, that wild little donkey was quiet, obedient, and good. When Jesus was riding upon him, he went just the way that he should. A quiet, submissive, wee donkey, made so by the blessed Son of God. And Jesus is able to make you
Anybody else have a number? you have another number? Or if you don't know the number, maybe you can tell us the name of the song. Yes. Which one would you like to sing? Jesus loves me. I love to sing this song. Sometimes I wonder, how many times have I sung this song in my lifetime? I never get tired of singing it. It's probably thousands of times. But it's just as beautiful today as ever. So, what number?
52.
52, okay. Jesus loves me, this I know. How many know the signs for this song? Know the sign language for the chorus? Okay. When we get to the chorus, we're going to sing and sign. Okay? And I think when we sing, come to the chorus the last time, instead of singing, we'll just sign. So we'll be really quiet and won't sing the chorus. The last time, we'll sign. Okay?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let the ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let the little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me still. When I'm dead, he will watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me, he will say, won't you die me all away?
If I trust him, should I die, he will take me home on high. Yes.
Like it? That's nice. You know, this part here, you know why we do this? Can somebody tell me why we do this? For the Bible? That's signing the Bible. Do you know, Max?
Mm-hmm.
What does this remind us of when we go like
Jesus?
This? Yeah, what about Jesus?
When he was nailed to the cross.
Exactly. When he was nailed to the cross. You know, and some people, they have the idea that he was tied to the cross with ropes around his wrist. And I've seen pictures like that. But the Bible tells us that he was nailed to the cross because, you know, the Lord said, they pierced my hands and my feet. And so that's what they did to the Lord Jesus. Well, we have a wonderful Savior to sing about, and Jesus was willing to suffer on the cross for boys and girls like you and me. And so, it's a wonderful thing to sing this wonderful little song about Jesus loves me. Well, I think we have time for one more song. Anybody else have a number? Yeah? Which one would you like?
55.
Number 55.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him he shed. In every way try to please him at home, at school.
for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a million sunbeam for him. Jesus wants me to be loving and kind to all I see, showing how pleasant and happy his little one can be. A sunbeam, a sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam, I'll be a sunbeam for him. I will ask Jesus to help me to keep my heart from sin, showing to others in goodness and always shine for him. A sunbeam, a sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam.
Let's set these little folks aside. Yeah, maybe you can just put them down on the floor or between your legs of the seats there, chairs. Now we're going to talk with the Lord. You know, somebody told me one time, before we talk to children about the Lord, we need to talk to the Lord about the children. So that's what we want to do. So let's just close our eyes and bow our heads while we pray. Our Father and loving God, we thank Thee this morning that we can be here to sing these wonderful songs about the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee, dear Father, for sending Thy Son to be the Savior. And we thank Thee that He on the cross was willing to die, to suffer, in order to open wide heaven's gate. And we thank Thee this morning, Lord Jesus, that Thou art inviting boys and girls to come and to enjoy a full and free salvation through simple faith in Thee. Thy precious blood that was shed there on the cross. And we want to thank Thee for each boy and girl here today. We thank Thee for the older ones too. But we pray that there would be a message that might reach into the heart of the dear children. That if there's one here still in their sins, they might realize how awful, how terrible is their condition before Thee, Lord God, and that they might come to Jesus and find in Him that which not only can save their soul, but satisfy their heart and become the very righteousness of God in Christ. So we ask this, not only here in Dartmouth, but wherever Thy word is being proclaimed this day. And boys and girls are sitting under the sound of the gospel. We do pray that by Thy grace Thou wilt work, and that they might be saved and satisfied. We ask this in Thy precious, worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, today, I brought my suitcase. So I got to go get that, okay? So you just wait a moment, I'll be right back. Mr. Galbraith over there, he saw me with the suitcase. He said, "Are you checking out today?" "No." I said, "I'm checking in." And here I am today in this hall with my suitcase. And what do you usually put into a suitcase? Does anybody have a thought on that as to what might be there? Matt?
Clothes.
Clothes. What do you think?
Stuff.
Stuff. All right. Anybody else have an idea? What?
Stuffed animals.
Stuffed animals. What?
Toothbrush and toothpaste.
Toothbrush and toothpaste. That's a good thing to be carrying in a suitcase. But you know what? Max, you struck the nail on the head when you said clothes, because that's what I got in that suitcase. And I'm sorry, boys, I don't have any stuffed animals. I should have a toothbrush in here, probably toothpaste. But you know what? I won't talk about clothes today. Now, you know, the Bible talks a lot about clothes. And sometimes they're referred to as garments. Garments. It's the same thing as clothes. Okay? And what I find is that God, He makes clothes for men and women and for boys and girls that are so very nice and that suit Him. And other people, they think they can make their own clothes to suit God, and it doesn't work. Those clothes are nasty. And in that suitcase, I got nice clothes and nasty ones, bad ones. Now, I want to turn to a portion in the Bible. And this is a story back in Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Now, that's in the Old Testament. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Malachi. So it's the second to the last book in the Old Testament. And in chapter 3, we're going to read here a little bit, okay? And this is what it says. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So now we have a man, he's called a high priest. And he is there in the presence of the Lord. And also there is Satan. What's another name for Satan? Can somebody tell me?
Devil.
Devil. That's right. Devil. And I just thought the other day, you know, there's so many bad words that start with D. You know, like discouragement, darkness, depression, demons, devil. It starts with D. And then you have evil. D plus evil. Devil. Did you know that Satan is here today? We are in the presence of the Lord. But we are also, I believe, here, and the devil is at work. And he tries to, as it tells us here, resist what the Lord wants to do. He don't want us to follow the Lord and His instruction. He wants us to go His way. And we know His way leads to destruction. It leads to the lake of fire. Now, it says, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Did you know that there is no one greater than the Lord? And the power of the Lord is greater than the power of the devil. I remember there was a boy, his name was Billy, and we had a little gospel meeting. And after the meeting, he came to me and he said, "You know, Mr. Deere, the power of God is greater than the power of the devil." I never forgot that. Now, the devil is stronger than you and me, but he is not stronger than the Lord. And so the Lord rebuked Satan. Now, it says Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Anybody tell me another word for filthy? Filthy. Does anybody here have filthy garments on? Look around. You see anybody? You had your hand up. You're going to tell me what another word for filthy might be? Somebody have their hand up here? Filthy. You have any idea what that means? I look about this room here, I don't see anybody that's got filthy garments. But there is a filthy garment in this room, and it's in the suitcase. Okay? So, I'm going to get this out. And you know what? I say, away from this garment as much as I can. But there it is. And I thought I'd bring it today because I think it helps maybe to prove a point. If I put this on, I would say I have on a filthy garment. This is dirty. This is not a nice suit of clothes. And I put it on last night over at the hotel to see how it would fit. You know what my wife said? She said, "I sure hope you're not going to wear that to bed." I said, "No way." Anyway, now you're looking at a filthy garment. And you know, I really don't feel comfortable wearing this in front of all these ones that have such nice clothes on. But here it tells us that Joshua, he was standing in the presence of the Lord, and he had on a filthy garment. Is that a good thing? You know, I believe that what we're talking about here is the fact that God's earthly people, the Jews, they had turned away from God. And they were doing wicked acts, terrible sins. And you know, there was in the Jerusalem that we're reading about here, a house. It's called the house of God. It was the temple. And you know, in the temple, they were to worship the one true God, the living God, and how wonderful He is. And He did so very much for His people. He brought them out of a place called Egypt, where they had to work so very hard under cruel taskmasters that brought down whips and probably made their backs to bleed because they make them work so hard. They had no love for the people. But you know, God saw this situation, and in a miraculous way, he brings them out of Egypt through the Red Sea into the wilderness, and for 40 years he provided for his people out there in the desert food and water, and he cared for them. And then when they get into this beautiful land, the land of Canaan, we know that they were able to overcome enemies, and ultimately there was this temple built where the Lord would put his name. And you know, you can read about it over in Ezekiel, what the Lord had in mind. You know, it tells us here in verse 4, behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, and so on and so forth. But the sad thing is, we find that there were kings that turned away from the Lord, and they began to do things in the temple that were really bad. And they built idols in the temple. And it tells us here about how they, in verse 10, there was the form of creeping things, abominable beasts, all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about. And then, if you come over here to verse 16, there's 25 men between the door of the temple, or the porch, and the altar of the Lord. And what are they doing? They're bowing down and worshiping the sun. The S-U-N. It was a bad scene there in Jerusalem. And there was one king, his name was Manasseh, I believe, and he built an idol that had its hands out like this. And I hesitate to say this, but they would actually bring little children and put into the hands of this idol. It was just a piece of metal, the little one, and that one would be burned. It was like an offering to the god of Moloch. And all of this was going on in Jerusalem, which was the place where God had put his name. Now, you know, God would never do anything like that. In fact, the Lord said, it didn't even come into my mind to do that kind of naughtiness. But that's what happened in Jerusalem. And so, I believe that this particular people, the nation of Israel, they sinned so grievously. And so here we have this high priest. He's clothed with these filthy garments, representative of what the people had been doing, and the king. And, you know, it was a sad, sad condition. However, notice what it tells us here. It says in verse 3, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel of the Lord, which I believe would be the presence of the Lord. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Take them away. I don't want those filthy garments in my presence. And this is what the Lord said. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Change of raiment is new clothes, a new suit. And take away this old, filthy garment. Now, I believe that you and I, we have a lesson to learn from this story, even though it's about the Jews. You and I, we have been bad too. Is there anybody here on this row that's never done anything bad? Thank you for being so honest. How about this row? Is there anybody here that's never done anything bad? Just put up your hand if you've never done anything bad. How about the next row? Next row. Nobody's putting up their hands. Oh, look at that back row over there. There's some people there. They're dressed so nice. Anybody on the back row that's never done anything bad? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says all have sinned. The Bible tells us there is none that doeth good. It tells us that the Lord, He looked down from heaven on the children of men. And we're all children of men. Everybody in this room. What for? To see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And what did God see? They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not even one. And so, we're just like this high priest. Clothed with the filthy garment. Such is our character before God. That's how God sees us. It's not nice. And you know, many people don't think about it. And they have no concern about how they look before God. But you know, God is looking down into this world. He knows what's in your heart. And you know, as I look around this room here today, there's nobody that's wearing a filthy garment outside except me. But what counts with God is not what we are wearing. As nice as it might be, whether it be a dress or a suit or trousers or sweater, and it's nice to dress nice outside. I don't mean to discredit that. But really what counts with God is what's inside. Now, it tells us in the Bible that the Lord, He looks on the heart. Man, He looks on the outward appearance. And as I look around, I see the outward appearance in it. And you boys and girls are, you got your hair nice, and you're dressed nice. But the question I have is your heart filthy? Like this suit of clothes? Filthy? With sin? Sin is that which defiles. And God's people, they were polluted, corrupted. But God was going to do something about this. And He alone could. And so, it says here, take away the filthy garments from him. I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. So, I'm going to take this off. You think that this could be washed and made nice and clean? In a washing machine? Some are going like this, some like this. Maybe we should ask somebody that's been running a washing machine a long time. You think we should ask somebody like that? Who are you pointing at? Who?
The very back row.
Back row? Oh, your father. He knows about washing machines, huh?
No, my mom does a lot of washing.
She says all the wash.
Yeah, wash.
Well, let's see how she follows. Mr. Falkenham, do you think that this could be washed and made clean in a washing machine? This here?
No.
And all.
No.
All right. How about we ask one of the mothers? Let's see. Who's a mother here that's been running a washing machine a lot of years? How about Mrs. Hayholder? No, you don't think so either. All right. Well, what we're going to do is set this aside. And, you know, the fact is, there are those that had the idea that we can cleanse ourselves from sin by turning over a new leaf and doing what's good. But the Lord says, even though you wash yourself with nitre, now that's a very strong cleansing agent, nitre, and take thee much soap, your iniquity or your sin is still marked before me. I don't care how much soap, nitre, it's not going to get that clean. We need a brand new garment. And that's what I got today. We've got just a few minutes left here, so I'm going to put this on. And this is just the opposite of what we have there.
It's like a big piece of plastic.
It's so pure and white. And, you know, when we think of pure and white, I think of what the Lord Jesus, he was wearing on a mountain one time when the disciples went up to the mountain. And it says he was transfigured, or he was changed in the presence of the disciples up on the mountain. And it says that his clothes, they became shining, exceeding white as snow, as no fuller could white them. Now, a fuller is somebody that I understand dyes cloth or maybe bleaches cloth and tries to make it really nice and white. But the Lord Jesus was wearing garments. You can read about it in Mark chapter 9, I believe it is. And there was nobody on the face of this planet Earth that could make clothes as white as what he was wearing. And it tells us that his face was shining too, above the, like the sun. It's an awesome sight, eh? But you know, the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, not the S-U-N. He is the S-O-N, and he is holy. He is of too pure eyes and to behold iniquity. He is pure. And it tells us about him and how he was in this world. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Because he never did a sin. Never. He never thought a sin. Not a bad thought. Never said a bad word. Never did anything bad. He was perfect in every way because he was God displayed in the flesh as a man. Now, he was the same age as you boys at one point, but he grew up, 33 years old. He was taken out to be crucified because they said, "We don't want this man." You know why? Because really, people, they like the dirt. They like it. They like their sin. And when you look at the news today, it's all bad. And people complain about the bad news, but really, that's what they like. Because we've got a bad nature that responds to that sort of thing. But, you know, the Lord Jesus is different. And he went to the cross. And there on the cross, the Lord Jesus was willing to bear the punishment for sin. And they put those nails They pounded through his hands and through his feet, the nails. And there he suffered on that cruel cross of Calvary for you and for me. It tells us that he, the one who knew no sin, he was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And you know, that's how God sees us now. When we accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God puts us in Christ, and that's how he sees you and me. He don't see us in like this. He sees us like this. And by the way, I've got something else to put on here. He sees us so clean and white that we could not become any whiter. In fact, it was David that said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Is there anything whiter than snow? Is there? What do you think?
Jesus.
Jesus? That's right. He is whiter than snow. And he wants to make you and I whiter than snow. The only thing that's whiter than snow is a heart that's been washed in the precious blood of Jesus. And God makes us whiter than snow so that we can enjoy his holy presence for time and for eternity. So, my question to you, how do you appear before God today? In a filthy garment or in a clean one? It's so wonderful to look around and know there are those in this room who have been washed in the blood of Jesus. And we sing a song, oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I hope, boys and girls, there has been a happy day in your life when you ask Jesus to wash your sins away. Because if you have not, you are still clothed in a filthy garment before him. Now, there's just one more verse, and our time is gone. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Now here's what it says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Clothed with the garments of salvation. Covered with the robe of righteousness. I understand over there in Zechariah when it speaks about the change of raiment, it's the costly raiment. Costly raiment. And you know, it cost the Lord Jesus so very much in order that you and I, we might have the garment of salvation. And that's why we're here today, because we love the Lord Jesus because of what he was willing to pay. There's a little song, it goes something like this, on the cross for me, on the cross for me, dying there in agony, Jesus paid the price, himself the sacrifice, on the cross for me. Well, I see our time is gone, so we're just going to pray and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Father, we thank thee this morning that we can talk with the boys and girls about the importance of salvation. And we earnestly pray that no boy or girl here this morning might appear in thy presence in their sins with the filthy garment. We ask thee that each and every one might indeed turn to thee, our God, to thee, Lord Jesus, and trust thee for salvation, acknowledging that a apart from the precious blood of Christ, there is no remedy for sin. Father, we do thank Thee for this time together. We seek Thy further help and direction throughout this day. And we just do rejoice as we give Thee our thanks for the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness that Thou alone hast provided. We appreciate it. Giving thanks in the precious, worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.